the foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand. Upheld by my gracious omnipotent hand, when through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not harm thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
One of Maddie's favorites, Revive Us Again, 45. 45. All right, Revive Us Again on the first. Here we go.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
483, one page over. Oh, how I love Jesus. Here we go.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yet sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
381, Israel all on the altar. 381.
381. All right, on the first.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar door all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul. Who can tell of the love He will send from above, and how happy will be made. Of the fellowship sweet, we shall share at his feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Let's do there's a room at the cross. I don't know what number that is. I'm trying to look it up here. Oh, 243. All right, 243. Here we go.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
You guys familiar with this song? Okay, let's do verse number one again. Here we go.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned. The Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
want to pick the last two?
Yeah.
All right, Jared.
In the garden.
Oh, 264. Got this one memorized probably. Here we go.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Talks with me and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Jared, why'd you pick this one?
It's relatable. Like, it shows that, like, Jesus is your friend and that you can talk to him. You don't have to be scared of him. And that you finally do, it's the best kind of thing.
Now, I'm just wondering, because I know why I pick certain songs. I wonder why you guys suggest certain things. Like, is it the melody you like? Is it a nice melody? Or is it, like, the personal message in there you can relate to? So I'm just kind of, there's no specific answer I'm looking for. What about you, Logan?
Well, like, the song, it kind of, like, it tells a story instead of just saying verses.
Yeah.
Like, it goes through, like, a story progression that you can imagine in your mind.
Yeah.
And
I like that,
too. Like, you're actually there doing it.
Yeah, I'm a lot more imaginative, so I think I kind of, like, get, like, I flock the hymns a lot more just because of that also, so that's good. All right, verse number two. What song were we on in the garden?
Yeah.
What is verse number two?
He speaks.
Here we go.
He speaks, and the sound of his voice, it's so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we stand.
Devotional songs. All right, Ferris Lord Jesus, number 50. All right, here we go.
Ferris Lord Jesus, Lord of nature, O thou of God and man, the Son, be with I start that too high?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Let's drop it down. Now, let's do verse number one again. Yeah.
Paris, Lord Jesus, roar of our nature, O thou of God and man, the Son. Thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy.
What does that word cherish mean to you guys? I'm trying to think of something I actually cherish. Like, cherish. What is there anybody in here that cherishes something that you want to share?
She's not worried about sharing with everyone. Jenny?
My family.
All right. Cherish, yeah. I agree. My family. Aaron?
I'm supposed to cherish my wife.
Cherish your wife. Yeah, what's the verse on that? He's like, nah, I'm not saying I do this, but this is what the Bible says. What verse is that? Is that like Ephesians? What is it? Husbands? Or is that how it works? Cherish and nourish your wife. All right.
My Bible.
Sister Kinsey said her Bible. Yeah. All right. Angela? Memory. Oh, wow. Okay, that's a phrase that we oftentimes throw out. Cherish memories. Christopher.
My two best friends.
Your two best friends. Aww. Did all you guys get haircuts this week, too?
All
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, not Jared. Jared just naturally looks good, I guess. Okay. All right. Anybody else? So, right there in that song, it says, thou will I cherish. Actually, I don't have it open. What does it say? Thee will I cherish. Jesus. Cherishing Jesus, man. If you don't know what that's like to like really cherish them, I know, and I'm just going to be honest, the stuff I say in Christianity, the stuff I sing about in Christianity is far above what I practice. Okay, I'll say that one more time. Oftentimes the stuff I preach, the stuff I sing about is far above what I actually practice in Christianity. But man, what a great thing to get to actually be able to cherish Jesus Christ. The same love you have for your best friends, for your family, for your memories. Just to actually get to that point one day where he actually means the same. You actually feel the same way about him. There's nothing better than that, man. This last year, developing my prayer life and working on that thing, I finally just started to like really understand that. I had a couple of like moments in the past, like when he was like revealing himself to me and opening himself up to me. And I was kind of like spiritually coming awake where I felt that stuff. But man, a lot more this year, and it's been great. And I don't ever want to lose it. All right, let's do verse number one for the third time. Here we go.
Paris, Lord Jesus, roar of our nature, O thou of God and man, the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's
number two.
There are the meadows, there are still the woodlands, robed in the gloomy garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is
number three.
Fair is the sunshine, fair still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry holes. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines still the moon. Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise and adoration, now and forevermore.
Beautiful Savior, one last time.
Truly our fellowship, Lord, with you and your Son, Lord. Father, I just pray that tonight you just glory and honor, just like you sang about, Lord, and I just pray that you just do something in our lives, do something in our hearts that may make us want to do more for you, that desire, that that hid treasure, Lord, that you so exalt. Lord, I just pray that anything that hinders us from getting to you tonight or you getting to us, Lord, that we just confess those things, just get them out of the way, Lord, and put them under the blood, that we may have fellowship with you, and just be nigh unto you, that you may dwell nigh unto us.
Amen. Amen. Turn to John chapter 12. Get your Bibles and turn to John chapter 12. Yeah. Yeah, go for it. It's going to pop. Go for it. Alicia, let Aaron stand on your shoulders, please.
I was trying to move it.
Yeah,
it's
going to
move right back.
All right, I'm going to jump. Oh, it's going to hit the sprinkler. Oh, yeah. All right, John chapter 12. So, this year at camp, it's all about missions, and one of the things that we noticed when we were having our camp counselor prayer meeting on Sunday is that I think, at least for the girls can say this, but at least for them, they're going to have more visitors than they do actual core kids that actually come to church here. And I think, is it the same on the boys? I haven't really counted it up. Haven't found my calculator for a while. So, we think so. So, overall, guys, We have more visitors coming than kids that know the routine and know what's going on. So I think that's very appropriate with it being about missions, with it being about us taking not only the gospel to the world, but the Christian lifestyle, why it's important to live like a Christian, why it's better to live like a Christian. And you're going to have an opportunity with all these kids who don't have the constant Thursday night, Sunday morning Bible that you get. You're going to have an opportunity to share with them of the virtue in living the Christian life like you get to live it based off of the principles that you learn here at church. So with this year being about missions and with us having more visitors, I think it's a great opportunity for us to apply a lot of the things that we've been learning in a very practical way and to make this thing about missions very real to us. So over here in John chapter 12, and this happened to be something I was reading through this past week. I try to read a certain amount of chapters every day, and this thing just kept sticking out. I was going to actually teach about something else this week. I'd already prepared, but God kind of pressed on my heart to talk about this. And the cool thing about John chapter 12 is, while reading through here, just like with my daily Bible reading, just certain outlines just kept sticking out and certain things that God kind of pretty much impressed on my heart to share with you all tonight. And so I'm going to talk about service tonight. I'm going to talk about the love of Jesus Christ towards certain individuals above others. And hopefully we can look at this and take it and apply it to our lives and be better prepared for camp by that. So turn to John chapter 12 and pick it up in verse 1. John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now right here in verse 2, we hear about a particular event that's taken place. The Bible says, there made they him supper. Now who are the they here? There are three people that show up. One person is Martha, who the Bible says served. Then it talks about Lazarus. But then down there in verse number 3, it says Mary. And when you go back to John chapter 11, verses 1 through 2, you find out that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are all related. They're brothers and sisters, or brother and sister, however you say that, with one another. Okay, they're all from the same mama. John chapter 11, verse 5, it talks about that family, and it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And you know what? We oftentimes don't find Jesus singling out people and saying that he loves them particularly. Can you guys think of somebody else in the Bible who Jesus Christ said he loved specially above all others when he was on this earth? Very popular American name. I feel like we like have a spirit of sleep over us today. You guys ever heard of John before? The Apostle John? The Bible who it talks about John and says the disciple whom Jesus loved. All right? So you don't get that phrase often with folks in Jesus' life. He doesn't use that very often like we oftentimes do. You know, almost everybody in here, I say I love you too. And I mean it. It's not like I'm just saying that. But I guarantee you, I'm sure my love for you isn't quite like the one that Jesus had for the ones that he listed. And so anyway, the Bible adds Mary, Martha, and Lazarus into that same category with the Apostle John, who the Bible said was the apostle that Jesus Christ loved, the one who put his head on his breast and heard his heartbeat. But my question that I want to ask you guys tonight is why? Why did Martha, why did Lazarus, and why did Mary have a special relationship with Jesus Christ? Why did he love them more than all others? You know, when Lazarus died back there in John 11, the Bible says that he wept for him. Jesus Christ never wept any other place in the Bible except for Gethsemane. And later on, you find that he tells his disciples, you know what, whenever you talk about the gospel, I want you to honor this woman, Mary, because of what she does to him. So this is pretty impressive. He loves them, he weeps for them, and then he tells folks, don't forget them. And my question that came up is, man, Jesus Christ is taking a special interest. He's almost infatuated with these folks. You say, well, what's so good about that? That's God. These are three people right here who God himself couldn't get enough of and was infatuated with. That kind of struck my attention. We talked about learning how to cherish Jesus Christ and looking forward to that. Whenever you get a taste of that, you won't want to lose it. So you know what's going to happen? You'll be reading through the Bible and stuff like this will start to pop out because that's what your desire is. You really want that for you and God. And so all of a sudden this stuff pops out to you more often. What I want to do tonight in John chapter 12 is I want to look at these people's relationship to Jesus Christ and look at their position and see what we can find out that ends up laying out why he loved them more than others. All right, pick it up in verse 1 again. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him supper. Now here's the first thing I want to look at. Number 1, why did Jesus Christ love Martha? The Bible says about Martha, there they made him supper, and Martha served. The first thing I see right here is that Jesus loves those that serve him. Now serve, what is that? To serve is the action of a servant. Okay, you might be thinking that, like, of course. You can't separate the two. Therefore, if you want Jesus to have a special love for you, you better rethink your social status. Do you oftentimes walk around like royalty or like a servant? Are you someone who likes to rush to the front of the line? Do you always try to grab the best seats for yourself or the best things? Do you have kind of that me first attitude? Then I'll tell you what you don't have a special place in Jesus' eye. You say, is it really that simple? Well, let's check it out. The Bible says about Martha that Jesus Christ loved her and that Martha served him. Luke chapter 22, if you can turn there quickly, go for it. If not, I'll read it off fast. Let's see what Jesus said about servants. Luke chapter 22, verse 24 through 27. He says, and there was also a strife among them, talking about his disciples, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, what does it say about him? Let him get his name in the paper. Let him get his own website and get a million followers and 1,000 likes. No, he says, he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. Now, this is kind of playing out now because things are kind of backward and twisted. But when the Bible says, he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, almost nowadays you might think that doesn't have much relevance. Because nowadays, the younger you are, it's almost like the more you're lifted up in society. I don't know if you guys have realized that and checked that out. Back when I was growing up, like if the grown-ups were all in the like dining room talking, and you interrupted them, like, you could almost get a spanking for that, believe it or not. Does that even make sense to you guys? You think, no, that's child abuse. That makes no sense. No, they used to always say something to us, even back then. Like, that wasn't that long ago. They used to say, children ought to be seen and not heard. Wow. That's like treating somebody like a dog nowadays, right? Him that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. I remember back when I was coming up, I used to dream about, you know, making it to the NFL. But I thought, you know what, if I never did that, I wish at least like they would send cameras out to like our schools and like watch us with Little League, and that Little League could be on ESPN. Almost before I got out of college, guess what I saw on ESPN? Friday Night Lights, high school football, just as much coverage as college football and the pros. What do I see after that? Little League World Series all over ESPN. I mean, just stuff just blew up fast. So that's what I mean by nowadays, the younger is almost treated as if he is the greatest. Look at the end of that verse. And he that is chief as he that doth serve. If you want to be chief among others, Jesus Christ says you got to be like the man that serves. John chapter 12, back at John chapter 12, Jesus Christ, he gives a quick summary over there. He says in verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And folks, there's no greater honor on this earth than getting honored by God. Man's honor is one thing, but once you get honored by God, that's saying something. You can't top that. The first lesson we got here is that Jesus Christ loves those who put themselves last. Now over here in 2 Kings chapter 5, one of my favorite stories shows up. It's a great picture of how Jesus Christ, or how God at this time, this is before Jesus Christ is manifest, but he uses a servant to accomplish something great for him. It's a picture of a great servant used by God. In 2 Kings chapter 5, pick it up in verse number 1. Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. So about Naaman, you know, when you come down through this story, you find that this is a group that's against the nation of Israel. Because the nation of Israel wasn't doing what was right at the time, God allowed a Gentile nation to come in and wipe them out and kick their butts and take a lot of them as slaves. All right? And one of the greatest men in that battle, one of the special forces captains, was a man by the name of Naaman. The Bible says he was captain of the host of the kingdom of Syria. Not only that, the Bible says he was a great man with his master. But he also had character. The Bible says he was honorable. Why was he honored? Because by him, the Lord, the God of Israel, helped out this Gentile king, captain. The Lord gave him deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor. But the Bible says he was a leper. Now, leprosy in the Bible, when you find something that talks about someone being a leper, it's a picture of sin. Okay, I think Bob talked about on Sunday how the Bible is a picture book, and it is always laying out pictures, but you got to get the definitions for what the words mean. So whenever you find the word leper, it's not just talking about a disease that covers someone's body, but it's talking about sin. And Naaman was great in so many ways. He was high in the nation of Syria. I mean, people revered him. People praised him. People bowed down before him. But one thing with that man is that he had sin in him. So it's a great picture of a lot of the folks that you're going to run into out there in the world. I've met a lot of your friends that are outside of this church, and they're really good athletes. They're really popular in school. They're really good kids. But at the end of the day, you and I both know that if they were to die right now, they won't make it to heaven. They've got sin connected to them. Just like this man Naaman did right here. Now, who does God use to help this highly decorated war hero who was the greatest imperial force on the earth at that time? Look at verse number 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. A little Jewish slave girl. God used a servant. Now, that doesn't seem right. If you're talking to kings and governors and presidents, you ought to use politicians. You ought to use folks that are high in authority. But not in God's eyes, because remember the principle, Jesus loves those that are last. Jesus loves those that serve him. That's why Jesus Christ used a servant here. Look what the Bible says about this attitude of this servant girl. Tell me if this sounds familiar. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now imagine this, guys. Imagine, let's say, Afghanistan puts together an army and they come and conquer America. I know it's a far, far cry, you know, of that happening. Who knows? Maybe it's not. But let's say that happens. And all of a sudden they take us and they kill most of our elite soldiers. And at the end of the day, they take the rest of us scum and they pretty much just make us slaves for them. All right. And let's say one of the greatest war heroes of that Afghan army all of a sudden gets some incurable disease. What's the thing that goes to your mind? Ha ha ha! You know, you're super excited. You're like, that's what you get. Teach you not to mess with the red, white, and blue, sucker. You know, that's where you're at with that thing. You're like, yeah, man, I'm glad that something bad's happening to him. He had it coming anyway. You know, and let's say you're walking around as a slave and you belong to another army. You're held captive right now. I guarantee you, if you ever think about helping someone, the first thing that's going to go through your mind is, you know, I may have something that can help you, but first, you hold your hands up with your chains on them. So let's talk about releasing these chains first. But notice how the little slave girl down in verse number 3 acts. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Her attitude was not happy about her master's state of illness. She wasn't looking forward to getting released upon his death. Instead, you know what she was doing? She was begging and pleading with her master, not for freedom, not for equal rights, not to raise the minimum wage, but for a chance to help him, to save the life, and be a blessing to her enslaved owner. The lesson here is that Jesus loves not only those who are last, he doesn't just love those who serve him, but Jesus also loves those who live for others over themselves. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, one of the best spots in the Bible that talks about what Jesus Christ did for us. And a great pickup verse over there. It says this in verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Remember? Jesus loves those who live for others. Now watch the example that he sets. You see, where before I told you that the way that I practice and the way that I preach don't line up, Jesus Christ, everything that he said, he was already light years ahead of it in his practice. Look what he does here. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's why Jesus Christ loved servants, because he also was a servant, guys. He made himself just like a servant. He is the greatest servant that ever lived. As a matter of fact, when you read the whole book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, that whole book portrays Jesus Christ as a servant. And what it does in there to show you that, the books before that, Matthew and Luke and then John, they all give the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Matthew shows how he came up with that kingly line. Luke shows how he came from as the Son of Man through Mary's line. John shows how he's the Son of God, starting with Adam. But when it comes to Mark, it gives no genealogy. It gives no background. It shows no family membership. You know why? Because a servant has no family. He has no birth certificate. He's just property. And notice down there in verse 7 what Jesus Christ gave up. Not only his freedom to become a servant, but look at this. He made himself of no reputation. Reputation. You know, that's huge today, man. That's like my ultimate nightmare, or at least it was at one time. Getting my reputation marred and scarred and damaged. And I told you guys this before. You know, back in high school, I had a really good run at it. You know, I was a popular kid. I had a lot of friends. I used to win a lot of things. And you know why it was so scary for me to lose my reputation? It's because of how much I built that thing up. You say, well, that looks kind of stupid, man, to give up your reputation. Why'd you want to do that anyway? Well, when you give up your reputation down here, God gives you a greater one over there. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I talked to you guys about how Achan back there in Joshua, he went down there into Jericho, and instead of doing what God told him to do and taking all the spoil of that battle and giving it to God, he took some for himself. Remember how I really impressed on you guys about how if Achan only could have seen that in chapter 8, God was going to give Israel all the spoil of the whole city of Ai after Jericho. And he was going to bless them. He's going to give them so much more increase. And if Achan could have got past chapter 7 and just turned the page and looked at chapter 8 to see what God had for him, he could have saved his life, his family's life, and enjoyed the spoils. That's kind of how it is with our reputations down here. And allow me to prophesy real quick. I think that this year at camp, something's going to happen to try your reputation. And you know what you're going to do? You're either going to keep your ego, or you're going to drop that thing. You're going to fan the fire when problems start to come your way. You're going to add to the instigate. You're going to add to the situation, or you're going to choke that fire and put it out. At the end of the day, you guys know what peer pressure really is. It's pretty much an attack on your reputation by people that are just as clueless as you. It's folks that are all kind of on the same level, guessing about what's going to happen the next couple of years and try to influence each other a certain way just to be a part of the crowd. It's an attack on your reputation by people just as clueless as you. And I say it like that only because I've been there, and now I'm here. But in order to serve God, you're going to have to give up on that thing. And the lesson you get here is that Jesus loves those that have no reputation because he made himself of no reputation also. The next thing I saw here was that where the Bible talked about how he loved Martha because Martha served, the Bible also says that he loved Lazarus. Back there in John chapter 12, you can see that he loved Lazarus because the Bible says right here, John chapter 12, verse 2, there made they him, or made him a supper, and Martha served, but look at Lazarus. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. The thing I saw here is that Jesus Christ loves those who wait on him. In order to wait on Jesus, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to understand who you are. Sometimes I get so fired up, you know, when I think about the first thing about how Jesus Christ loves me and he loves service. You know, oftentimes I'm running around doing as much service as I possibly can for him. It just seems like, you know, if I don't know what to do, just start doing something and eventually, you know, I'll get guidance on it. The Bible says, even over there in Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. So I go to work for him. I kind of get tunnel vision sometimes, and I think that the work can't go on without me. And that if anything is done, that it's got to be done through me. And you know what God says? And I've had, you know, older folks say this to me to encourage me to get up off my butt and move. They're like, no, son, God only helps folks that help themselves. So oftentimes I'll take that and I'll apply that and I'll start doing stuff for God. But then all of a sudden I came across Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. What a great verse over there. If you have a ADD or ADHD or anything like that, look at this. Psalm 46, 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So whereas Jesus Christ has a great love for those that serve him, like Martha, he also has a great love for those that are still, that understand who he is, and that enjoy that. The Bible says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. You know, oftentimes our busyness happens because we think that we're the ones that are controlling the situations in our life. And if we don't do something, then it's just all going to get out of hand. But folks, once you know and you realize who's in your life, you realize who the Holy Spirit of God is and what he's doing in your life, it's easy for you to rest in him. It's easy for you to be still. Look at the end of that verse. It says that the work will get done with or without you because it's God's desire. Once you're still, the Bible says that he still exalts he's still exalted among the heathen. He's also exalted in the earth. It was his desire long before it was yours. And any work that you're doing for God was placed in your heart by him, and you did not originate it. Now, this is going to be important to remember when it comes to trying to witness to loved ones and praying for them that aren't saved. And I got to remind myself, Zach, be still. God wants them to come to repentance more than you because he died for them. I've got to remember this when it comes to putting together a devotion sometimes. You know, I get antsy and I get worried about this. I was talking to Jenny about this, you know, before tonight. You know, I feel like anybody can just get up and say something. And, you know, I just feel like that sometimes it's like, well, that's my job. I've got to kind of go through this thing and feel like you're just going through the motions. But you oftentimes wish that God would give you some fire, that he would give you some assistance to help you out. I mean, think about it. You're sitting up here. You're taking this book. I've said this to you guys before. You guys see any actual pictures in here? You see like any LED lights popping off of here? Okay. Let's see, we'll be honest in here. How much TV have you guys watched today? Who wants to say? Give me an estimate, a guesstimate. Christopher. About half of your day. All right, so how much of that day are you awake? Let's look at that.
About half of
that time. About half of that time. So I still don't have a number. So 12 hours you're awake is that what you're saying? So you sleep about 12 hours and you're awake about 12?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I sleep like 5.
Oh, you only sleep like 5 hours?
I don't sleep.
Wow, that's amazing. So he's awake for 19 hours. And so for what is that, roughly? I can't do that math. 19 and a half?
Yeah, just
9 and a half, that's a minute, not 19 and a half. So for 9.5 hours, so you think you're in front of the television? Okay, so that's honest. That's great. Now imagine that. Almost, I think, I forgot the rate of changes on the television, but I think like every 2 or 3 seconds they try to have something to change to keep your attention, something like that going on. You know, different colors, different things popping up here and there. You know, the advertisers on the commercials, they really like get that stuff down to a science to grab your attention and to hold you. And so you go like, let's say you spend 9.5 hours experiencing that, and then you come in here and listen to somebody talking with a book with the fan on over here that's like drawing everyone to sleep. You think the devil's upset about this situation or pretty happy with it? I feel like my odds are pretty good if I was the devil. So oftentimes you're trying to get something together, you're trying to figure that thing out. You're like, God, you know what? I don't even know why we're doing this still, but anyway, God, if you want something to happen, you're going to have to help me out. Your spirit's going to have to get in there and do something in folks' hearts because I can't do it. I can only talk about the Bible just as much as anybody else can. Unless God shows up and does something in someone's heart, nothing gets done. But you know what I have to do oftentimes? Quit worrying about that stuff. Quit being frantic. Quit being busy and be still. You know why? Because oftentimes I have to remember, when it comes to putting together a devotion, he wants to reach them more than I do because they're his. So step back, Zach. Be still. Just rest in it. It may not look like it's going like you want it to. It may not look like it's happening like you think it ought to happen, but be still, son. They're mine. I'll reach the ones I'm after. And oftentimes I got to remember this when fretting over the future. And I'm worried, God, I mean, I don't think I'm doing enough. I think I'm going to miss out on what you put me into existence for. But you know what he says to me? Zach, be still. I'm the one that brought you into existence.
And what I want to accomplish, I'm going to accomplish because I put you here to accomplish it. Now, why is it okay to be content with being still and not doing much? Here's the other lesson. God loves those who just love being close to Him. And boy, that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned this year. Whereas at first I wanted to get into the ministry and keep moving and stay busy to make sure that I didn't fall off and fall off the deep end and get lost, you know, out there, mess around with goofiness and just pretty much immerse myself to, you know, I thought, you know, who knows how much time we have before Jesus Christ comes back. I got to go, 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 go. This last year, the biggest thing I've learned is that, son, sometimes you just got to step back and get close to Him. And I imagine what that conversation might have been like with Jesus Christ and Lazarus sitting there at that table. Lazarus. Lord, you want me to get up and help Martha serve? Jesus. That's all right, Lazzy. You know, she's got it. Don't worry about it. Lazarus. Well, you know what I was thinking, Jesus? You want me to head back to the graveyard and start passing out some tracts? You know, there's plenty of people that are grieving over there. They lost loved ones. And Lord, how about I tell them what you did for me? And I tell them that, you know what? The grave used to be the end, but it's no longer the end because the resurrection's coming because you're here. Lazarus, don't worry about that. You'll have plenty of time to do that once I'm gone. Well, Lord, I guess I'm kind of not being that much of a great disciple now, Lord. It seems like everyone else is up and doing something for you. Martha's serving you. Mary, I don't know where she is, Lord. And all the other disciples are out there two by two witnessing the folks. And God, I'm just sitting here. I can see Jesus is saying to them, yeah, but what they're doing right now, they're trying to get to where you're already at, son. They're doing all that work. They're doing all that ministry to get close to me. To get close to my heart. But you're already sitting right here at the table with me. Be still and be close to God. God loves those who just love being close to Him. You know, that's all of our work in the ministry. All the service is to show Him how much that we appreciate Him. You know, we're trying to build up our works, do good works after salvation to show Jesus Christ what He means to us. And, you know, sometimes He says, you know what, don't show me how much you love me by what you do for others all the time. You know what I want you to do today, Zach? I just want you to show it by sitting still and being close to me. A much more direct approach. You know, this past year when I started working on my prayer life, when God really started impressing that on me, all of a sudden it seemed like my life got really, really busy. You know, like, well, God, this can't be what you want me to work on because look at all the stuff that's happening now. It just seems like the ministry's just getting more and more involved. People's issues are coming up more and more. I'm starting to work with more and more people. God, how could you want me to take time out just to sit still and, you know, work on my prayer life right now? But you know what? When I finally realized how the devil can use busyness in your life to get you away from God too, and I just trusted Him and start working on my prayer life, I never got more fulfillment out of my life than what I did just by sitting close with God sometimes. You say, well, were you in your Bible? No, sometimes I wasn't in my Bible. What specifically were you praying? Sometimes nothing. Sometimes just separate myself from everyone. I think Jenny caught me in the closet one time, maybe. Like, oh, no, she didn't. Oh, did you? I don't think you ever caught me in the closet, have you? Okay, she didn't know. She's coming back. Anyway, I'm out of the closet now, guys. Don't worry about it. No, anyway, but no, man, just get somewhere alone with God. Just, God, I'm just waiting to hear something from you. God, I'm waiting to feel something from you. I'm not a charismatic God. You know that I'll follow your book, but you know what? Hey, you're real. I want to feel it. I want to know it. Just stuff like that, man. He loves that. You know, there's three things that you want to be still for in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 27. Turn to this while I was talking. 1 Samuel 9:27. Listen to this. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while. What? Why do you want me to be still, Samuel? That I may show thee the word of God. That's what you guys are having to do right now. Your bodies are anxious. They're waiting for this thing to be over with. Zach, when can we get some reprieve from this? What's happening? You're having to be still to hear the word of God. That's what happens there. So you're still to hear the word of God. The next thing is over there in Psalm chapter 4, verse 4.
God tells you to be still in order for you to have reflection and meditation with Him. A great verse for when you're laying on your bed at night. Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Some of the greatest times of reflecting on your day and understanding what's taking place just happens like that. Notice he's not praying. Notice he's not reading the Bible. He just laying on his bed, communing with his own heart. You know, and oftentimes, guys, we get so much Bible that I think sometimes we don't have enough time to digest it. Has anybody ever seen, watched a cow for any certain amount of time out in the country before while it's grazing in the grass? So Gloria has. After that cow eats that food, do you know what it does? After a while, very interesting thing takes place. Kelly, you're laughing. Do you know? I know Aaron knows. I've seen your family picture. What does a cow do after it's chewed up its food? Is it done with it? Does that food ever come back up? It does come back out. Out of the back end. Before it comes out the back end, I don't know if you guys have ever seen a cow start to kind of look like it's puking its food back up again, and then it starts chewing it over again. You're like, oh my God, that's disgusting. Well, think about it. That's actually a great picture of what a Christian ought to do sometimes. When you guys read the Bible, when you take in all these lessons that we give you, you're ingesting this stuff into your body. You're taking it in. Now, who here can be honest and say that every time you've gone to Institute, every time you've gone to Sunday morning and Thursday night and all the different things that we do and the stuff you pick up on the side and stuff like that, you retain all that stuff immediately. You don't have to go back over it again. Absolutely not. You know what you got to do? You got to do like that cow. You got to get away from it, take some time to kind of spit it back up and chew on it again. And swallow it down. You say, well, I didn't understand it. Well, spit it back up, you chew it again, and you swallow it back down. You're like a cow chewing on its cud. That's Psalm 4:4. God wants you to be still for meditation and reflection. And lastly, back there in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7, God wants you to be still just for a reality check sometimes. 1 Samuel 12, 7, pick it up in verse 6. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore, stand still. Why? That I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. God wants you to stand still sometimes just so you can remember who's actually doing the work in your life. Oftentimes you're too busy to stop and realize that, son, it's not you that's making these things happen, and it's me. So we saw that Jesus Christ loved those that served him, like Martha. Jesus Christ loves those that sat with him, like Lazarus. But then we get to see right here that Jesus Christ loved those like Mary because of where she was with him. She was in submission to him. John chapter 12, pick it up in verse number 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying, hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Jesus Christ loves those who submit to him. You know, over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible talks about a woman's hair, and the Bible talks about it as a sign of submission, as a separation between her and the man and God. It's a dividing line for her. But it's not only that, guys, when you think about it, you think about hair in a woman's life, that's a pretty big thing. I don't know if you realize. Actually, hair in a guy's life nowadays, I guess, is a pretty big thing, too. Jared's nodding. He agrees with that. All right? Hair is a pretty big deal. I know there's some of you, you know, I've hugged, you know, just periodically here and there, just saying what's up, and that's the first thing I see is, like, you're, like, trying to protect your head or something like that. And, like, so you give me, like, a weird hug, like, you know, coming in like you're, I don't know, like, slowing down after running 100 miles an hour or something like that. You know, you do some weird stuff. I know, like, women will sometimes choose to take a shower in the morning versus take one at night just so that their hair falls a certain way and they can mess with it better or something like that. Or they don't shower so that it can be more dirty and then the hairspray stuff can be all right. Amen. Right on. So here's a special thing. My mom, I guess she grew up and she always had these hair nets she went to the shower with. I didn't understand the purpose of that, washing your whole body but leaving your hair dirty. Like, it seemed like my hair had to be, anyway. So hair is very important. It represents you. Believe it or not, I used to have a ton of hair. I used to be like 14 to 15 inches long. And, you know, it actually gave me several opportunities back in college. Some of you have found out about this. You know, I was looking for a little bit of extra cash on the side, and, you know, somebody came up on the campus one day, and, you know, I kind of feel like that, I don't know if this was like a hoax or something, if it would have ever come true or not. They came up to me, and they're like, hey, you ever done modeling before? You know, I'm starting to blush. You say, how's a black guy blush? Don't worry about it. It happened. All right? And so I started to blush, you know, just thinking about that, and they're like, hey, you ever thought about modeling before? I was like, oh, well, I mean, people say it all the time, but no, I don't have time for it, you know, and so... Like, well, here, you know, take this, look at our website, tell us if you're interested. If you are, you know, we'll get you set up. And so I wasn't doing nothing. I'm just playing music. You know, that's not really a real major. So I was like, well, I got time for this. And so I did. I gave them a call back. They hooked me up. They got me a talent scout and got me a little website page and some business cards. I think that's the remnant, what you guys get to see today, those business cards. Anyway, you say, what was that for? Is that because of your smile? You know what they wanted me for? They wanted me to be in a shampoo commercial and play this kid named Dre. Yeah, it was the hair. You see that? I haven't heard any other talent scouts come back since, so I guess it wasn't all this right here. It must have been what was up there. Now, what was that all about? Think about this. Your hair is pretty special. And it's pretty important to you. And when we find Martha here, she's not serving like Mary. When we find Mary here, she's not serving like Martha. She's not sitting like Lazarus. She's submitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, just be honest about it. Does anybody in here really think that their feet are the best quality about their bodies? There's something personal going on back there. I'm wondering about that. All right, now, I know girls, I mean, you'll have them out and everything like that, and God bless you, but... you guys have never seen my toes, I don't think, ever before. Okay? That's because I don't believe anything like that's going to come out until the tribulation, when the bottomless pit opens up. And so I'm trying to protect you guys from that. The whole point is you take one of the most treasured things from someone, you attach that to one of the most detestable things with someone, you kind of get to see what Mary was doing here with her submission. She took what meant so much to her. You know, the Bible says not only did she use her hair, which is so important to a woman, but the Bible says she also used a costly ointment of spikenard. The Bible says that thing was about 300 pence. You say, well, it was 300 pence. It's about 300 pennies. You say, that's horrible. That's $3. That's like worse than something that a skunk drops out. You know, no. Back then, when you look at Luke chapter 22, a pence, that was about a daily salary for someone. Yeah. You say a penny? Yeah, man. But back then, they were like doing 2 bits and a quarter and stuff like that, you know, and the lint out of the pocket and the, you know, frog legs and everything. So if you got like a pence, that's doing pretty good. So that was like somebody's daily salary. And so think about that. You take all the weekends off. You know, they had to rest on the Sabbath. So that's about 52 Sabbaths a year. So you take 365 minus, you know, 52. You're down to a number I can't compute. And you take that and you take some holidays. You add that to it. At the end of the day, 300 pence is about someone's yearly salary. Mary took an ointment that cost her annual salary and broke it on Jesus' feet to wipe it with her hair. This is submission we're talking about. You know what would happen? You know what did happen? Judas saw that and he was like, God, what is she doing? She could have taken that and given that thing to the poor. She's an idiot. What is she doing? Because she took something of great value and seemingly wasted it right before them. You know what you guys are doing right now with your lives to the world? You're taking something of great value and you're seemingly wasting it right now. Shouldn't know this, but I was kind of listening to Gloria while we were singing. You had a pretty voice. All right? She's wasting her time right now. She should be out getting singing lessons. What are you doing at church singing hymns? Are you out of your mind? I guess so. All you kids, don't you guys know about jobs, summer jobs, how you can actually make some extra money and stuff like that? I mean, there's summer sports going on. Most people actually develop themselves during this time. They're not like wasting time in church, you know, right now. There's great things happening on Thursday nights. Are you guys all losers in here?
No.
No. Why are you wasting your lives? What are you doing? Right? I guess you're as dumb as Mary. I guess maybe you understand something that Mary understood. You know what Judas said? Lord, she could have taken this and given it to the poor. You know what Jesus Christ said? You're right. I didn't think about that. The poor. No, you fool. He said, the poor you have always. The poor you have always. You know what that shows me? Opportunities to serve Jesus Christ will not always be with you. Opportunities to serve Jesus Christ will not always be with you. You say, well, you mean when I get older, I mean, he's just going to like drop me to the curb? No, it's going to be a different opportunity. But man, there's stuff he wants to do right now in your life that if you put aside, you won't ever get that time back. Maybe right now you're kind of in and out and, you know, not sure if this is something you really want to be committed to. And, you know, God, you know, we're oftentimes preaching that, you know, put God first, put God first. Just trust us. You know, put God first. That's what he said. He's not gonna make himself a liar. Put him first. And he said he'll give you all those things that you desire. We constantly admonish you guys to do that, to put God first. And all these other things will be added unto you. But you know what the world says? Well, I mean, what it means is, you know what? You got to do this stuff. You got to have your school. You got to have your activities. And wherever like God can fit in around that, you fit them in. And then, you know, God's helping you. Obviously, he gave you this opportunity. Don't you want to go to school? But we're telling you, put God first and all these things will be added unto you. Listen, guys. Yeah, absolutely. You can always come back to this. There will always be churches that you can join. But at the end of the day, I don't know how long you're going to live. Does anybody else in here know their expiration date? I don't either. The poor you have always, but me you have not. Does anybody know how long they're going to be in good health? Be able to keep their eyesight? The poor you have always, but me you have not. You know, it's funny. Judas here, he wanted to take that money and give it to the poor. To the poor. And I hear him say that, give it to the poor. You know what that is? That's just a religious service. Why is it that mostly all religions go after serving the poor? I think serving the poor has a lot to do with just, I mean, obviously we do that down at Restart and stuff like that. It's a good thing for us to do. It's one of the things we do, but it's not the main thing. Most religions, that's like their main outreach, their main focus. Give to the poor. The same thing that the man who represents the Antichrist in the Bible was concerned about. The Catholic Church owns Restart. And they have Catholic Charities, and they have tons of other organizations like that. Little Sisters of the Poor. Give to the poor. You know what giving to the poor is? It looks good before men. You know what breaking the ointment on Jesus' feet and wiping it with your hair is? It looks moronic to men, but it looks really good to God. When you really serve God, it doesn't look all that great to men. What you're doing right now tonight, when you skip out on certain activities outside of here and serve God for those things, it looks really moronic to men. But you know what? God loves those who give it all to him. That's the lesson there. Mary took something that she worked for all year. And instead of investing that thing in her future, instead of wondering, you know what was going to happen when she retired, she took that thing and gave it all to Jesus Christ. Now, do you think Jesus Christ is going to let her sacrifice like that? You think he's going to let her wind up feeling like an idiot down the line? Well, we know he doesn't. Right after she did that, the Bible says that he said, listen, boys, what she's done tonight, whenever you tell the gospel, you tell everyone about that. You're probably looking for it in the John 12. It doesn't say it in John 12. It says in the Matthew when she does it. But he said, whenever you preach that gospel, you talk about Mary as a remembrance of what she did tonight. And not only that, man, I can't wait to see how God blesses her in the millennium for this. He's not going to let that sacrifice that she made right there go unnoticed. And just real quick, this is we kind of like went to a really somber note right there. I want to jump back real quick and look at something. Because oftentimes you hear this. Look what Judas said in verse 8, Jesus Christ said in verse 8, for the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Has anybody ever heard of Bernie Sanders before? I think AJ said something to me about kids in your hallway saying "Feel the burn" or something like that. Yeah, so Bernie Sanders, you know, the politician. So Bernie is a socialist. He's a communist. You know, one of the major things that the communists push and that they talk about? They talk about the poor. They talk about the little guy. They talk about how the world pretty much steps on the little guy's back. And they're all about, you know, almost like kind of like a Robin Hood idea. You wanna take from the big guy and give back to the poor. I'm looking for a note that I had here. I'm gonna say this the right way. Now, do you guys know how I knew global warming was never an issue for the Earth, and how I never even had to like have a scientific degree to know that? Because of what the Bible said in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. It said, as long as the Earth remains, if seed time and harvest, cold and winter, day and night will always remain. So I know that they can't make God a liar, so I know that global warming was never something we had to worry about. When you get up and hear a politician talk about, my job is to take care of the poor and get rid of the poor, you know that that guy is a crook, because Jesus Christ himself right here said, for the poor always you have. You see how relevant the Bible is today? It's just that simple. Someone gets up talking about, oh, we're going to take care of the poor. The Democrat Party cares about the little people. And all this junk like that, you know they're lying. Because if, in order for that to take place, in order for that to happen, God has to become a liar. And God said right here, for the poor you have always. So just to recap real quick what we covered tonight, we talked about why Jesus Christ had a special love for Martha, Lazarus, and Mary. And we saw that he loved Martha because she served in the ministry. Her service to Jesus Christ demanded his love. We saw Lazarus was loved by Jesus Christ because of how he sat with Jesus Christ and just desired to be close to him. And if you desire to be close with him and learn how to be still for him and rest in him, he'll love you. And lastly here, we saw that Mary got a special love for Jesus Christ because of her submission, of giving it all up for him and turning it all over to him. And guys, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Those three things right there will demand a special love from your Lord and Savior towards you. So that's just a pretty simple outline that just popped up right there in John chapter 12, the first three verses. There they made him a supper, Martha served. Lazarus was one of them that sat, but then took Mary, a pound of spikenard, and guess where she was? Submitting down there at his feet. Serve, sit, submit. All right, guys, well, let's hold up there. Thanks for your time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we got to spend together tonight. I pray that something I said tonight, God, will help these kids develop their relationships with you, that you'll just look after them, God, and just accomplish whatever it is you brought them here for. I look forward to you just continue to work with me, God, and get me where I need to be to accomplish what you brought me here for. And Father, watch out for us as we go out the rest of the week and go our different ways, and please bring us back safely on Sunday. Give us a good time at the car wash. I pray that that thing is lucrative and successful so that we can support camp and provide for all the needs that you have for us there. Love you and thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now don't forget, there's bomb pops out there in the freezer. I think there's also like a cake out there for Chris, so go and enjoy all those things, guys. Thanks for tonight.
Thank you.